evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fulton Lewis, Jr., back in Washington again at WOL. After an overnight trip on one of the sleeper planes of American Airlines, having left Los Angeles, California, about an hour and a half after leaving the air at this same time last evening, and arriving in Washington bright and early this morning in time for a full day's work. An extremely comfortable, smooth, uneventful trip, with dinner last night and breakfast this morning on the plane, and very good meals, I might say. All of which seems rather amusing when you stop to recollect that 5 years ago, no more, people felt that they were very daring to prophesy that someday, some remote day, there would be coast-to-coast air service on a schedule of 24 hours or even 20 or 22 hours. Shortly after I got in this morning, Mr. Wendell Willkie, who has been here in Washington for several days, conferring with Republican leaders and completing the organization for his presidential campaign, held a news conference, and incidentally, he introduced a few brand new wrinkles. The hotel had provided chairs for the news correspondents. Usually, you know, we have to stand up. And then, to make it possible for Mr. Willkie to see the individual newsmen themselves a little more easily, they had provided a big chair for him on a raised platform. It was such a high platform that some portable steps had to be brought to enable him to climb up on it. And when he got up there in this immense chair, he seemed to be very much amused with the whole situation. He announced that Representative Joe Martin of Massachusetts, the Republican leader of the House and the permanent chairman, you remember, at Philadelphia, will be the new chairman of the Republican National Committee. It will be Representative Martin's job to coordinate the whole campaign from now on. The former chairman, Mr. John D. M. Hamilton, will be a special executive assistant to Representative Martin. Mr. Hamilton will continue to draw his present salary from the Republican Party, salary of $25,000 a year. Mr. Martin will not draw any salary. He, of course, is a member of Congress and gets $10,000 a year for that. One of the correspondents asked Mr. Willkie whether Representative Martin will remain in Congress or resign in order to devote his full time to party work. He is, of course, up for re-election this summer, as all members of the House of Representatives are. Mr. Willkie said that's entirely up to Representative Martin. The fact is that he will remain in Congress. He wants to be Speaker of the House. If the Republican Party is able to win control of the House in November, which they are boasting they will do, if that happens, it's just about sure that Representative Martin would be elected Speaker. Mr. Willkie said it took considerable persuasion to talk Representative Martin into accepting that job. He said that Governor Harold Stassen of Minnesota would have gotten the post if Representative Martin had not accepted. Governor Stassen had agreed to do so, but as it finally turned out, that was not necessary. There was one rather important announcement that Mr. Willkie made today, although it seems to have been generally overlooked in most of the news dispatches. He was asked once again about whether campaign contributions will be limited to $5,000 in his presidential campaign. He said several days ago that he wants that limitation, you know. He stated definitely today that that limitation will be placed on them. But here's the important point. He said that cash contributions will be limited to $10 per individual. In other words, all contributions above that figure of $10 have to be made by check or money order or in some other form so that there will be a permanent record. The purpose of that, just for your information, is to try to get away from the old and rather ugly trick which both of the political parties have used in the past to some degree, some considerable degree at times. The trick of accepting huge contributions in cash, in currency, that are used for political backdoor work. Contributions that never appear on the books at all. No fingerprints, no clues on them, and that, for that reason, are rather likely to be shady and sinister contributions. Mr. Willkie said he wants none of that. Anyone who makes a contribution to his campaign, he says, should be willing to have the fact known and on the record. Very late this afternoon, Representative Martin held a news conference on his own score. We've been all broken out with news conferences today, Mr. Willkie, Representative Martin, and the president's press conference, plus the usual crop by cabinet officers. Mr. Martin told us that the Republican campaign will have three headquarters this year, one here in Washington, another in Chicago, and still another in New York City. He said the one here is necessary because he, as majority leader of the House, will have to remain here on duty at the Capitol. He is one of the members of Congress, one of the leaders who opposes any adjournment of Congress this summer while the European war crisis is going on. He was asked whether the Republicans plan to make any general campaign through the South, and Mr. Martin says that all depends upon certain surveys that now are being undertaken by Republican field scouts. But he did say that Mr. Wilkie will be a very strong candidate, a dangerous candidate, to use his exact words, in six of the southern states. In case you're interested in knowing what states they are, here's the list that he gave us. Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Missouri, and Maryland. He said he did not mean to prophesy that Mr. Wilkie would carry all of those states, but he did mean that Mr. Wilkie will have a good chance in them, in his opinion. In the meantime, he said that he has made a careful study of sentiment in New England, and said, Mr. Martin, he believes the Democrats would be foolish to waste any money by trying to put up a campaign in any of the New England states. Whatever you may think about these Republicans, they certainly have no inferiority complex. Now, in the meantime, the president continued to play his little game of mystery this afternoon about whether or not he will accept the Democratic nomination. Day before yesterday, you know, Postmaster General Farley conferred with him at Hyde Park, and Mr. Farley told the newsmen afterwards that the president told him what he plans to do, but Mr. Farley declined to give the slightest hint as to what the president said. Today, Mr. Paul McNutt, the Federal Security Administrator, who is himself a candidate, called at the White House. He said the president did not commit himself, but that his own personal guess was that the president will be a candidate. This afternoon at the president's news conference, one of the correspondents tried the ice rather gingerly. The president had just been talking about Mr. John Cudahy, the American ambassador to Belgium. And one of the correspondents observed that Mr. Cudahy has a bet with the president's personal secretary, Mr. Ed Watson, General Ed Watson, of $300 to $200 that Mr. Roosevelt will be renominated and reelected. The question by the correspondent was, Mr. President, who do you think will win that bet? But the president only laughed and said, whoever wins it, the money will be in good hands. Another correspondent tried to be a little more subtle and asked whether the president has any preference as to a vice presidential candidate. Mr. Roosevelt only laughed again and said that that was a frightfully crude trap. So the Democratic convention grows closer and closer with the president still playing that game of mystery. He seems to be enjoying the game tremendously. He seems to be getting a real kick out of the fact that he is keeping the world guessing. Apparently the only person aside from the president himself who really knows the truth is Mr. Farley. And in that event, there might just as well be no one who knows it. The secret might just as well be locked in the center of the earth, because Mr. Farley is one person who never tells tales out of school. They say in the world of politics that smiling Jim Farley doesn't even talk in his sleep. The president told us that he will send to the Capitol tomorrow a new additional message on national defense. That is the one that is supposed to consist of $4 billion more for the Army and $1 billion more for the Navy. A large part of the Army appropriation is to go for the construction of tanks, also for building up production facilities in various lines, and furthermore, this new program will include another large request for additional fighting planes for the Army and Navy. I told you last night from Los Angeles that there was a little more material which I'd gathered there which I would pass along to you tonight. And it seems to be very, very pertinent just at this point. After talking about these additional fighting planes, it's a question of how much productive capacity the American airplane industry already has at the present time as compared with the 50,000 plane a year production capacity that the president says he wants. I think you'll be surprised at these figures. The six aviation plants which I inspected for you at Los Angeles are now in the course of a rather large and extensive expansion program. I reported that to you last night. They're increasing their present factory space by more than 50%, and all of that expansion is at their own expense and on their own responsibility. These additional facilities will be in operation within 2 months, and when that happens, those six factories alone will be turning out approximately 1,300 fighting planes every month. Those factories on the West Coast represent about 60% of the entire American aircraft industry. And if you figure it out in simple arithmetic, you'll see that by early September, the entire American industry on that basis will be turning out better than 2,000 planes a month. Multiply that by 12 months, and it comes to about 25,000 planes a year. And that happens to be just about the same production that Germany has at the present time with all of her widely advertised quantity production methods, the advertisements that have frightened the American people to death for months. Our productive capacity in September will be just as large as Germany, perhaps a little larger. As for the new planes that are under development in those Pacific Coast factories, I can't tell you too much about them because much of the information is confidential, but I can tell you this much. There's one big new bombing plane of the very long-range type, a plane that can fly across the Atlantic and back without refueling, and it can carry 26 tons of bombs. There's a new light bomber which carries a much smaller load but's able to do considerably more than 400 miles an hour. There's a new single-seated fighter that does more than 410 miles an hour despite the fact that it's equipped with heavy-gauge steel armor plate to protect the pilot. There are planes of that kind in the world already, single-seated fighters that will do better than 400 miles an hour, but there are none with armor plate that will do that because the armor plate adds to the weight of the plane considerably and thereby cuts down the speed. Now, for the rest of the news, the long-delayed Hatch-Dempsey Bill number 2 to clean up politics in the states, just as the original one was designed to clean up federal politics, finally came up for debate in the House of Representatives this afternoon, and after all of the delayed tactics on the part of the opposition, after that famous secret vote to kill it in Representative Hatton Sumner's hat, and then to unkill it in the House Judiciary Committee, after all of those things, it appears that the bill will go through by a rather easy majority. The only test today was when the vote was taken as to whether or not to take up the bill, whether to consider it and debate it on the House floor. And that was so overwhelming that there was not even a record vote. The final roll call will come on the new Hatch-Dempsey bill sometime tomorrow. In the meantime, the Senate finally confirmed President Roosevelt's appointment of former Secretary of State Stimson as the new Secretary of War. It required 2 days of debate before the opposition forces had talked themselves out, but they did that late this afternoon, and just a few moments ago the vote was taken, and it was 56 to 28 in favor of Mr. Stimson, exactly 2-1. But that's the top of the news as it looks from here, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow evening, good night.